Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke in the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 13, as we hear about the walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day, the day of Easter, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, who was named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his eternal glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We hear at the very beginning of the scripture passage that the distance between Jerusalem and Emmaus is about 7 miles. Now, that's a very walkable distance for most of us. And for those of you with fitness trackers or pedometer apps on your phone, that's going to be approximately 14,000 to 15,000 steps, depending on your height. So it's a lot of steps, but it's doable. We also know that some walks are longer than others. And it's not always about the mileage or the number of steps that we take to get there. Sometimes it's about the burdens that we carry with us. Now, it might have been a 7 mile walk for these two disciples, but it probably seemed like a very long and difficult journey. The travelers were disillusioned. Their hope they had faded. Perhaps they were dreading their return back to Emmaus. Maybe even fearing shame or accusations when they got home of how silly they had been. The distance they were covering wasn't just the distance between two towns. But we hear in Scripture they cover the distance from "we had hoped" to "Christ the Lord is risen indeed." It's the journey from despair to promises fulfilled that we hear them take this morning. Two travelers are walking down a road, and suddenly a stranger joins them. Now the stranger overhears these two companions having a discussion. Well, discussion is one way to translate it, but it might be better described as a percussive exchanging of words. You know what I'm talking about? That heated argument? That's what's taking place with these two disciples having this disillusioned argument as they're headed to Emmaus, back home. And this is what the stranger overhears. It's an interesting witness for Jesus to walk up on. Hearing them talk about what has taken place and about what they thought would be different. I wonder how often we have had the opportunity to proclaim resurrection moments, but were instead overheard exchanging words with one another, lifting up a different sort of witness. So I wonder what a stranger would hear from us and see in us as a community of faith if they joined us as we were headed down the road. What if the travelers don't know that we're a community of faith? Would they notice that Jesus is in our midst? I think oftentimes we have this picture of the resurrection as a flashy show of God's power and God's triumph. However, this particular resurrection story from Luke doesn't have quite as much flash, but it does have a lot of depth. There's depth of relationship with Jesus that is revealed in this story. And it starts with the way that Jesus engages these two companions. He asks them what they're discussing. And one of them responds. Cleopas, though, in his response isn't exactly kind or friendly. In fact, his response sounds angry and maybe a little bit sarcastic. He says, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" So Jesus, instead of taking the bait and responding with a similar attitude, chooses to open up the conversation differently by responding with his own question. What things? I wonder how often we are too busy having intense debates with someone or getting caught up in our own short-sightedness when someone invites us to open up and have a conversation, and we instead try to shut them down and turn off the opportunity. In asking the companions a few questions, like, what things? Jesus gets down to the core of their struggle. He strips away the excuses and the fluff. He gets them to name the doubts that they hold, the hurt that they feel, and the fears that that they are trying to hide. Now, perhaps Jesus is able to do this in part because he seems like a neutral and removed party to the things that have taken place, or at least that's the estimation of the disciples. They are so far down into their own troubles that they are having trouble taking steps out of the depths of the things that overwhelm them. They've even gone so far as to label the resurrection testimony of the women as idle tales and as nonsense. They brush off the account as the worthless babbling of grief-stricken women. They cannot accept that it was possible that Jesus was raised. And so it's no wonder that they don't recognize him standing right next to them. It takes Jesus some time to talk these disciples out of their deep darkness that they have found. And he begins with a wake-up call. The scripture I read this morning translated it, "How foolish you are." There's a theologian named David Lyle Jeffrey who suggests a little bit of a different translation, and I happen to like it a lot. He says, maybe it sounds a little more like this. "You sweet dummies, how could you miss this?" Jesus grabs their attention. He walks with them and talks with them. And as he does, he changes the tone of the conversation from one of heated exchange of words to a gentle yet persuasive teaching. I think many of us find ourselves proverbially on the road pretty often. Anytime we're between destinations, we're on the road. And I wonder how we travel the road with our companions when a stranger shows up and asks a question, particularly about our faith. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to engage in a conversation that's not a heated debate, but a dialogue? Are we willing to learn together? Or have we become too preoccupied with our own problems and our own concerns to notice God's presence with us and be willing to hear God speak into our lives? I need to take a moment of personal confession at this point. This week I was on the road, like literally in my car on the road, and there was a passenger in my vehicle with me who was riding with me to the destination, and I have to admit, I spent the better part of the car ride belly aching about a household chore that I didn't think should be my responsibility. I got so caught up in my own ridiculous concern that I failed to acknowledge the more important part of building my relationship with my passenger. I missed an opportunity to allow God to be revealed between the two of us. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to be the obstacle that keeps others from encountering God and from having their lives transformed. And if I had to guess, I'd say that you all probably share that same sentiment, that you don't want to be the obstacle, the stumbling block, the thing that keeps God from being revealed. So maybe it's time to lay aside our exchanges of words, our tight-fisted theological debates, and our self-centered monologues. And instead, maybe we should choose to listen, to ask questions, to grow and to learn, to choose to open up and be vulnerable, to choose to build up relationships with others instead of tearing each other down. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be in complete agreement at the end of the day. I don't think we will on everything. But I am suggesting that we commit to having vibrant conversations where people are loved and embraced. One of the best ways that I've found to be able to do that, to have these moments of revelation and relationship building, are around a table, usually sitting down to have a meal or maybe just a snack. And it's true for the travelers to Emmaus. You see it after Jesus breaks bread at their table, that they recognize who Jesus is. I've seen it happen in this building. There was a men's breakfast that took place a couple of months ago. It was pretty amazing. There were people who began building relationships with one another around a table. There's a family ministry's potluck and game night where good fun was had, where relationships were built, where faith was strengthened. There was an Easter breakfast 2 Sundays ago. Where we had time to fellowship as a community of believers. You know, I've even seen it happen around the table at snack time in the preschool. We share moments together around a table, and God is revealed. Faith is strengthened, and relationships are built. So here's your challenge for the week ahead. Share a meal with someone. It can be someone that you know well. It can be an acquaintance, a coworker, even a stranger. And while you're eating together, enter into a conversation. And a conversation that isn't centered on your own personal agenda. Take time to listen, to ask questions. And be amazed by how God is present and revealed. I look forward to hearing how it went. Thanks be to God that we have the opportunity to have God revealed in new and mysterious ways each and every day. Amen.